Hey love, and welcome to the Love Meach podcast. It's a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. It's 8 billion people in the world, yet you met me, and that is not by happen chance. This is a divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. I am in this world, but I'm not of it. On this podcast, you'll hear topics about both worlds, spiritual and earthly. My goal is to keep learning, evolving, and spreading love. And welcome to another episode of the Love Meach podcast. We have completed another year. Oh my God. It is New Year's Eve. We are about to roll in from 2023, roll right into 2024. And we survived, y'all. Since COVID, or for me, I've experienced death a lot more, but people be dropping like flies. And since COVID, it just hit me like life is really not promised for anybody. I don't care what age you are. But COVID also helped me realize that every single thing you do, whether people are presenting the things to you or not, will have an effect on your life. So we really need to read more books, study, learn about our body, try to grow things, because your life is literally in your hands. We can blame people, and yes, they are to blame. They are to blame, and they will have to account to God one day. But where is your blame? Did you do your due diligence? Did you study? Did you research? Did you give your body the best fighting chance that it can have? Like, this whole world teaches us to get money, get money, get money, get money, which is great because you definitely need it to survive, right? But you could be a billionaire. I don't know what you're supposed to eat. Don't know anything about your organs or your body to have a long life. So you're not even going to live to the fullest extent with all that money. So COVID and just life in general just gave me a new perspective. Like, it's great to, you know, have a business or want to make money, but it's so many other things that you should focus on in life, like that circle wheel, like your faith with God, like your friends, your family, your relationships with people, your health, your goals, your skills. Like, we should really pull out that life chart, and I did an episode on it, and make sure you are being successful in all of the pie charts, not just one. So that's what a little message just popped up in my mind as we head into 2024. But I am so excited, y'all. Like, let me tell you how, oh my God, we are really so in sync. So I've been on podcasts before. It's popular now, y'all. But I was on podcasts before anybody knew anything about it. Like, I've had Apple forever, and Apple started with the podcast. And I would listen to all these podcasts before it hit FM, before it became a thing, before iHeartRadio, and just everybody got podcasts now, which is fine. I like it. You learn. We're all learning and we're all sharing. So that's fine. But when you be on something before everybody else, you like an OG. So I said all that to say, like, I remember I had got out of this really long relationship and I was sad, and I stumbled upon this podcast, and it was called Laugh or Go Crazy. I did a podcast episode on it, so go back. I let y'all hear snippets of all my favorite podcasts, and Laugh or Go Crazy was one of them. And I was so sad they just up and stopped one day, and they like felt like my friends. I hope y'all feel like that when y'all hear me, like, my friend is gone. Like, where is my friend? Like, I did not know these two people at all. Couldn't recognize them if they walked up to me on the street. Now I just joined their Facebook group, y'all, and guess what? I have no way of knowing this, but the moment they crossed my mind, I looked them up, I went to their Facebook, and they just said, it's been way too long, we finna post another episode. Ah! Y'all, that is crazy. They literally just posted. So, y'all, we are so in sync. We are more connected than we know. I didn't get an email, y'all. I didn't get a dream or anything. It just was like a thought, like, I wonder what Laugh or Go Crazy is doing. Let me go see if I can pull up their website. Oh, they on Facebook. Let me go follow their Facebook page. Boom, they're going to post. The post. They literally just post. We about to do another episode. It's been too long. Are you crazy? That is so insane to me. So I'm pretty sure that same thought went to all their fans. And I bet all their fans finna know that they finna do another. Like, that is insane. We are the internet, y'all. Before there was the internet, there was us. That's how fast your thoughts, like, connect to your people. Like, that's why they say find your tribe and love them hard, because you're connected. Y'all were connected way before you started that business, way before you sold that product, way before, you know, you listened to your calling and did what you're supposed to do. You was already connected to your people. They waiting on you. And you waiting on them. So I was just like, I just thought that was so insane. So today's episode is going to be about the Kabbalion. I read a couple of books and I'm trying to catch up on my podcast before the new year, y'all. So I'll be podcasting all day. But I love reading. I'm such a nerd. As you get older, you start to see your differences a lot more. And I don't really know too many people that read, like, in general. But in my small group, we all read. My mom loves to read. My sisters love to read. My best friends be reading. So expanding from that small circle, like, the world really don't be reading. So I'm thankful for, like, podcasts and YouTube, because they're able to take these big books, shrink them down into small quotes or whatever, and share them with the world for the people that are too busy or doing other things that may not come across it. Look at him. People is crazy. So I just thought that was interesting. Like, whatever your gift is, whatever your calling is, share, because it's going to reach who it need to reach. But it's so interesting that happened to me before doing this podcast. Like, what? I miss my friends and laugh or go crazy. Where are they? They just up. And when I tell you, I would religiously wait for their podcast. Like, they were so funny. I related to them so much. It's like a guy and a girl. They reminded me of Will and Grace. They were just so fucking funny together. And they just made me laugh. I connected with them one of the saddest moments of my life. And then they just vanished. And I was like, oh my God, where are they? And you know, I found other books and other podcasts and stuff. But I just was like, I hope they're alive. Like, what happened? And all of a sudden, to just get this inkling to, like, look them up. None of their podcast pages was up. And then I saw a link to Facebook. And I said, oh, they have a Facebook group. Because I had stopped Facebook for like 2 years. I just got back on for real estate. And I was like, oh, they have a Facebook group. So I go to the Facebook group and there's a post. It's been far too long. We about to drop an episode. What the fuck? Like, I said all that to say, in the Kabbalion, I'm going to go over the seven principles. And the first one is going to say the principle of mentalism, the all is mind, the universe is mental. I know we say the universe is mind, mental, but I look at it as a garden. So my mom has been planning going on 3 years now. And when gardeners say nursery, that's exactly what the fuck they mean. If you take a 20-ounce soda and you take the cap off, that little cap, you put a little bit of dirt in there and you put a seed in there. That's how nurseries start, just that small. And then she has this like grower where you can turn blue and red light on. It's something about that blue and red light, y'all. Like, I want a blue and red light in my darn room, because if we are one molecule away from the plant species, of course they're planted in the ground, they don't move. So whatever that molecule is, I'm pretty sure that has a lot to do with it. But if you look at the human molecule and the plant molecule, it's exactly the same except for one element. And that is so crazy to me. So I always look at plants as like our sisters and brothers. Like, what else in this whole world is one molecule away from us? Like, I don't think that's to be taken lightly. So if they can grow under red and blue light, that should say something to us. Like, as we're looking at the sun, we're seeing one color, but what if it's other colors coming out? And scientists are already telling us we're not going outside as much as we should. We're not getting enough sunlight. We're in these boxes, in these brick, in this wood, in these caves all day. And that's not how we're supposed to be. Look at our sisters and brothers. They're outside 24/7 and they grow and they thrive and they go through their seasons and stuff. And I just think we should pay attention to nature a little bit more. That's why I love my native roots. I want to tap into Native American Cherokee a little bit more. My African roots, because they were outside. Like, they built their homes from wood and mud, and they were just so much one with nature. I think we try to separate ourselves so much to become more machine. Like, no, that is not the path we're supposed to be following. We are nature-led beings. And the further we move away from that, the more chaos we're going to experience, which leads me to COVID and all this other craziness, because you're going against nature. You're going against the grain. Instead of growing your stuff naturally, they're putting chemicals and all this stuff and trying to speed it up. And you wonder why there's so many diseases and side effects. But anyways, that could be a whole other podcast. Let me get back to this. So back to the seed. You know how a garden, you plant these seeds. Each seed have a different timeline. Each seed has, I watch my mom, like, my mom is a real deal motherfucking scientist. She's so brilliant, she won't even say it. My mom, before DOS went out, she went to school to do computer programming when it was DOS. Once she graduated, y'all, they wasn't even using DOS anymore. I remember we would have to go to the library while she was studying, y'all. It's being a computer programmer is not easy. It is not easy at all. So we're at the library while she's studying, doing her homework. And then the moment she graduated, they're not even using the shit no more. I think she took a step back to help my dad with his different career paths. And so she just kind of stumbled back. But when she got back in school, all A's. She's in the Kappa Kappa A Society. She got accepted into Harvard. Like, she will always downplay herself. But no, mom, you are so motherfucking brilliant. So as I look at her grow this garden, I got all my siblings this book, y'all. When I tell you I'm a nerd and I don't play, I'm a nerd and I don't play. I know that we all have different paths, but at some point we're going to cross that same point or open up that book and use it for what we need to use it to. So I still passed it out. My mom is done with the book. She's the first one done with the book. She done highlighted it. She got her tabs in her book. She can quote what page the stuff is on. She can give you the dictionary textbook name of a plant, because we know them by different names, but they also have scientific names as well. She knows what they can, which leads me back to the plant. She knows their season of growth, what type of climate they need, what the weather needs to be. You don't just even use regular dirt. She will collect egg peels and banana peels and mix them in water and get, like, yo, it's not as simple as putting that shit in the ground. There is a science behind it. So my mom was a scientist, whether she knew it or not. All her plants have thrived. Year one was a little touch of gold, was very new for her. Year two, going into year three, everything back there is thrive. Like, the whole yard is finna be a motherfucking garden. Like, I'm so proud of her. So much so, it's not just even the garden, y'all. I look in her kitchen. I look at her kitchen in the medicine cabinet. Jars. Blue jars, brown jars, medicine. Everybody gets sick. She like, hey, take this. Hey, take this. Take this. Take this. Take this. And it makes me smile. Because I was the one long time ago, like, mom, we need to recycle. Mom, y'all killing the planet. Mom this. Mom that. Oh, the straws are killing the turtles. And oh, she knew I was her little humanitarian. And this world just eats me up every day, y'all. I know I'm from another planet because this world is insane. And just to see, just to like keep encouraging her, I started my vegan journey. I don't eat meat. You know, like, I just feel for the animals. Maybe if I had my own farm, it will be different. But just the way we do it, the chemicals and stuff, it's a no. It's getting like that with fruits and vegetables too, because ain't no telling. Ain't no telling. We think these are farmers growing our food. They're scientists. Probably the same scientists that was around with Hitler. Because they didn't execute them. They definitely came to America. So, we think a lot of stuff is just, oh, it's nothing. No, these are scientists. Scientists experiment. Scientists don't care who you are, who your family is. They have an experiment. They have a hypothesis. And they want to get results. They're trying to master something, and you are their lab rat. And without giving people consent, I don't think that's fair. I think that goes against God. I think that goes against everything. Like, experiment on your own damn self and come back and tell us what the results are. Like, I just think that is so evil. Like, I read this book, The American Apartheid, showing how African-American slaves were experimenting on, especially the women, with no anesthesiologists, and they're going to deem the man the father of, you know what I mean, GYN, like, father of what? You know what I mean? He did worse things on the African-American slaves with no anesthesia, talking about we're strong. That was his excuse, that women are resilient, are strong, but then gave anesthetics to the white women. Just, this is the same America that we're in today. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care what political realm it is. That evil root of racism is still very present, not just in America, but the whole world. And until that root completely dies or is extinguished, they're always going to have their hidden agendas. And I don't give a good goddamn. So that's just kind of where I stand on it. But getting back to the plants, you have a thought. To me, when it says all is mine, that's just like a garden. So you have a thought. I want to do X, Y, Z. you know, it's invisible. It's in your mind. It's just a thought. And then you move towards doing that thing. Like, okay, in order to do XYZ, I need to do XYZ. Okay. Let me make it more. Let me bring it home. I'll use myself. So I want to be a realtor. Okay. I know I need to take this test. I know I need to study. I know I need to pass. You know, there's different steps that you have to take. So, okay, the thought is there. Now let's move towards the actions. Okay, let's do the application. Okay, let's get the fingerprints. Okay, let's do the background. Okay, let's take the class. Let's pass the class. Okay, let's study. Let's take the state test. Okay, good. We passed. All right, now we need to find a broker. Let's interview some brokers. Let's work with a broker that works best for us. Okay, great. Now I passed the test, I got my license, and I'm broker. Now I need clients. Okay, let's make the social medias. Okay, let's make the business cards. Okay, let's get some customers. Okay, let's work. It all started with a thought. And we've done this time and time again. When you bought your house, when you got your car, when you dated the girl, when you dated the boy, when you married the girl, when you married the boy, when you had your baby, starting your businesses, planting, moving up into your career. We do this all the time. We're watering our garden all the time, y'all. So when I think of that, that's what I think of. Like, thought to me is garden. That's how I break it down. Like, real deal. Like, this is a garden. Like, your thoughts aren't just invisible. It's a garden, and you have to tend to that garden. So in real life, watering your seed in your mind as far as a thought, you can translate that into real life. Okay, if I want to water this realtor seed, okay, I need to go do the application. That's watering the seed. Okay, I need to take the class. That's watering the seed. Okay, I need to pass the test. The seed is growing. You get what I'm saying? I need to find a broker. The seed is steady yet growing. And then when you get your clients and you start making income, it's bearing fruit. It's just like, oh my God, the all is mine. I don't see it that way. Like, I get what they're saying, like, the all is mine. But I had to make that, like, more real, more tangible. Like, okay, so how does that translate to me? So the first principle is of mentalism. The all is mine. The universe is mental. This principle suggests that everything is a manifestation of the universal mind. Like, even when I think of God, like, God said, let there be light. There wasn't no fucking light. That's why he thought it and he said it and boom, it appeared. I guess God has been telling us as his kids, and I look at us as little guys, as baby guys, as guys in training. I don't think we can leave. I don't think if we can't pass Earth, we can't handle anything else. That's how I feel like Earth is just, this is the fucking school. This is the testing ground. Because if you can't handle this, there's no way you can create other worlds and stuff. So to say, to not have nothing, like nothingness, like all black, to be God and to make everything that is, that is so much imagination. Like, it's too dark. Let's think of this big ball of gas that's going to be a sun that's going to give life to a whole universe. And then they have to break down that whole universe. That's insane. And it all came from what? Mind. It all came from mind. Like, we're thinking about going to work. God had to make the sun and the sky and the earth and the plants and all the stuff for you to even exist, to even think about going to work. You get what I'm saying? Like, what? So we have a baby level of thought. God is on so much of a higher level. It's crazy. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to break that down. So the principle of mentalism, how you would practice that is mindfulness and awareness. Understanding the power of your thoughts. Like, I'm finna start my thought journal. That's what I'm gonna do for 2024. I'm writing down all my thoughts because I swear they come to pass. Like, I can think of somebody and they'll call, or it just be, and I think I do it without like trying, so I want to make sure I master it. And I'll be like, oh my God, I'll be texting my sister and she's calling, or I'll be texting somebody and they're calling, and I'm like, this is so creepy. Like, I literally was just texting you and hitting your calling. Your call interrupted my text. It's just getting out of hand. Like, I'm doing it without noticing, but I want to notice it. I want to master a lot more. Like I said, we do it all the time. So from it being unconscious, I want to make sure it's conscious. But please mind your thoughts, because they happen. Like, whatever you say, happens. And I don't know what the timeline is for it to like manifest, but it will. So be very, very careful. Like just be very, very careful, because
I feel like words are alive, so to speak, a spirit, and you send it out to fulfill its life based on what you said. And I don't know how long or what the math is, but it comes back like complete. Like what you said will come back as like, okay, like a soldier, like, okay, I completed that mission, next. So just be very, very careful of what you say. And if you focus more on a positive, you don't have to worry about that. Like, I will be the number one realtor in Jacksonville, Florida. You don't have to worry about how long that's going to take, come back, da, 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 because it was on a positive side. If that makes sense. So cultivate a positive and constructive mental attitude. So I be having like crazy bad days, and I just be trying to say like, oh, it's a good day. You know, don't worry. Just be thankful. Give thanks for all the positive stuff, because again, those negatives get in your mind and they're live. They're going to manifest. So you have to like control your mind. And why isn't that a thing? Like, outside of hypnotism and outside of mind control, which is very taboo, people don't really talk about it. Like, I'm pretty sure I can't stand in front of a crowd of people and say, hey, have you heard of past life regression? They'll probably think I'm crazy, but this is just the world that I'm in. Like, the physical stuff is so blah to me. The metaphysical stuff is what we should be studying our whole life, because it's stuff that we can do and we aren't practicing it. We aren't mastering it. Like, I'll never forget in the Bible, Jesus did all this great stuff, like bring the dead to life, yo. Bring the dead to life. Heal person. Stop the lady from bleeding. Let the blind man see. Like, all these miracles. Even as simple as turning water to wine, right? And he says, you will do more than me. I will never forget that. You will do more than me. But I don't hear no pastor saying, all right, y'all, let's do more than Jesus. You know, like, no religion really is saying, all right, y'all, let's do more than Jesus. I don't think they really want us to. And so the ones that are doing it, which they're on YouTube, you can go look them up, y'all. People is really out here doing magical stuff. But they're hiding because, you know, they don't want to be hunted or killed or whatever. But this stuff is real, and that's what I just want to tap into a lot more. But yeah, your mental attitude, and then explore meditation to connect with the universal mind. So I finally can sit down and not go crazy, because I understand, like, sitting down and thinking, and really, you know, you can start out with giving thanks. You could start out talking, and then it'll slowly calm down or slowly be quiet. And then you can train yourself to sit in that quiet. Because the more you can do that, that's how you train your mind. That is how you control your mind. That's how you train your mind. But until you can fully do that, you're just going to be manifesting hit and miss without doing it 100%. So the longer you do anything, what do they say, 21 days? It becomes a norm. It becomes a habit. You can kind of train it. So why, again, aren't they teaching us that? Why doesn't that start in elementary? Okay, y'all, we're going to sit down for 30 minutes and meditate. They don't want us to control our mind. And best believe, if you aren't controlling your mind, someone else is. If you aren't, you know, putting your money to good use, other people going to take it. You get what I'm saying? Like, we do a lot of unnecessary spending and stuff. But when you really control your money, you have stocks, you have bonds, you have investment properties, you're putting that money to work. They don't really teach that. You have to go out and learn that on your own. Wanna why? Because they're capitalizing on it. They're benefiting from it. They want you to remain the consumer. And that's not how you end up having the most of your free time. It has nothing to do with success, because success is whatever you want it to be. Everybody don't want to be financially successful, because a lot of rich people want to kill themselves. You have all the money in the world and depressed because of what? So success is different for people, but what money does give you, though, is freedom. You can go travel, you know, you have financial freedom. You're able to give back to the community. You're able to fund Christmas and Thanksgiving and take care of your family and friends. So it does have its benefit. So I don't want to say that it's evil. It's just make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do with it. So let me see. K-A-B. It had just went away. Okay, so here we go. So let me see. Explore meditation to connect with the universe. So the more you do it, like the more powerful you'll get. Like I'll never forget a client of mine. I be praying with my clients. They be wanting these houses and stuff. We'll stand out in front of that house. We'll pray. Like, Lord, if it's their house, it is. If it's not, you know, let us find the next one. Keep on. So I talk to God kind of like a friend. It's not, sometimes it get real rough. Like, all right, God, I'm going to need you. Come through. Just like that. And it do. So it's like very personal, very real, very normal. And then one customer, we went in front of the house and she said, you need to talk to God a little bit more. And she was like, for example, am I going to get this house? She said, be quiet, stand still, ask yourself, am I going to get this house? And tell me what you hear. She said, tell me what you hear. And I kid you not, I heard a yes in my right ear. Girl, I was shook. I was motherfucking shook. I was like, oh my God, I heard a yes. And I was freaking out. I was shaking. And she was like, yeah, see? Yeah. She's like, I knew the answer was going to be, but I needed you to get that. So I don't even think a lot of my clients are even clients. They're like messengers or angels coming to me, teaching me things. So a lot of stuff I don't know. I have to ask, but I can get the answer. And the answers come just like that. It was just so crazy. Like, and that's how a lot of our creations are. Like, we don't know where this stuff comes from. It just comes. Like, God is everywhere. God is in everything. But just practice that. And I'll even ask you, like, ask yourself a question internally. Nobody needs to hear. And tell me, what answer do you hear from your right or left ear? Like, what is the answer? Like, we are so busy. Music, podcast, TV, conversation, people, noise, city noise. But in that quiet, in the absolute quiet, there's conversation. There's conversation with God. There's answers. So, yeah, dig into that a little more. I even have affirmations for it. So the affirmation for the principle of mentalism would be, my mind is a powerful force and I align my thoughts with positivity and create my reality. My mind is a powerful force. I align my thoughts with positivity and create my reality. Y'all, this book was so good. Like, there's a lot of old books that people like regurgitate over and over, but go back and hear the original and it just be like, what? Like, sometimes I feel like these people from another planet, almost. Like, what are they even talking about? Like, this is a school that I would love for my kids to go to. This is the new age that I would love to be walking in. Like, I even remember growing up, I always felt like this is old school. Like, we was looking at black and white TV. Like, this is so old. I always felt like, I don't even know what word to give it, y'all. But black and white TV was old to me. I'm like, I can't wait for the new TV. Like, why are we still looking at this? This stuff is so old. And then we have color TV. And now we have the new stuff. And the only time I feel at home is when I see futuristic stuff. Like, yes. Flying cars, digital this, digital that. Like, yes, everything else just seems old. Like, did I travel back? And why the hell did I travel back? Like, all of this stuff just seems so old to me. So yeah, my mind is a powerful force. I align my thoughts with positivity and I create my reality. So that was number one, y'all. Number two is the principle of correspondence. And you know what's so interesting to me? The Kabbalion goes over the Hermetic philosophy, or the seven Hermetic principles, or the seven laws of Hermeticism. But I'm going to be so honest with you. Where did he get this from? He got this from the universal laws. And I did a podcast on that. There's over 100, probably more, universal laws. And to me, universal laws are kind of like the laws of Mayat. Just like, are we taking things and recycling them and trying to make them our own? Like, just give credit where credit is due. I write papers all the time. And at the end of every paper, what I have, references, bibliography. This is where I pulled this information from. Like, if you know you didn't make it up 100%, give credit where credit is. Baby, I was just talking and thinking it was recording and it was not. So I made sure I keep an eye on the clock this time. So the second one is the principle of correspondence, as above, so below, so below, so above. I actually looked up the complete sentence of that. Oh, I hate when this happens because I have to do the whole thing over again. As above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul, by Hermes Trismegistus. I love that. So we have above, below, within, without, universe, and soul. So this principle highlights the interconnectedness of all things and the harmony between the macronism and the micronism. This principle of correspondence recognizes patterns and connections between different aspects of your life, reflects on how the micro individual reflects against the macro, which is the universe, to consider the consequences of your actions on various levels. The affirmation is, I see the connections between all things. As I understand the small, I comprehend the large. Harmony is my guide. Okay, that was 2. 3, the principle of vibration, nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. It emphasizes that everything is in a constant state of motion and vibration, differing only in frequency. The principle of vibration engages in activities that promote physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So I think the world has us on this money train. But what do you know about your body? What do you know about your mind? What do you know about your emotions? I just got 2 dummy books, one on emotion and one on emotional health. And I kid you not, I love that Disney movie that talks about the emotions, because everything isn't just happy and sad. There's a whole fucking wheel of emotions. But do we talk about them? Do we give ourselves space for them? There's some tragic things that have happened in my life. Do I give myself time to sit down and cry? I had to sit down and like give myself time to cry. You don't have to bottle that stuff in. If something makes you mad, go to the axe place and throw an axe, or go to the place where you can crush things, or go to a safe place and get that energy out. If they have us on this go, 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 it's like, no, that's energy. Being happy is an energy. Being sad is an energy. Being angry is an energy. You still got to use that energy. And you have to be careful. You could be so mad, you could be speeding and cause an accident. Because you didn't chill and calm yourself down, and you went and hurt somebody else, yourself and somebody else. Do you get what I'm saying? It's energy. They just tell us this stuff is words, but everything is alive, yo. Your emotions are alive beings. When babies laugh, do they not all sound the same? I don't care what race they are. Laughter is, it's a universal energy, and it sounds the same in babies. Then you get older and you learn to tweak it. But as an innocent child, every time you hear laughter, it's exactly the same. Even when they start to say mama, dada, exactly the same. Emotions are beings, y'all. Talk about being possessed and aliens. Nah, it's energy. When them serial killers be killing and stuff, what emotion was that? Instead of calling it an emotion, is it a spiritual emotion? Is it a spiritual entity? Is it an emotional spiritual entity? It's deeper than what they tell us, y'all. And then what was the last one? Your mental health has become a big thing since COVID. So I thank COVID for that. People really are taking this mental health. It's now it's like, oh, let's look into mental health. Before it was, girl, you crazy. You finna go talk to a dog. Finna go talk to a quack. But now it's like, oh, you're not talking to a therapist, you know what I mean? You're not seeking help, because we all need it. Black men, black women, everybody, we all need therapy. I am writing a book on trauma, y'all. Because I learned a lot of this shit from school. I'm so glad. I don't give a fuck about the student loans. I love to learn, and a lot of this stuff is not out there. Yes, you can go to the library and read all the books, but a lot of this shit is hidden behind university walls, behind subscriptions. And if you do, like if I do try to read those articles without the school, I got to pay per article. So I'm so thankful for school, because I learn a lot. I really do. I learn so much that I never even think about. So as I'm writing this trauma book, where did that idea come from? It came from a school assignment. I did an assignment on African-American women's having trauma with their own fucking mothers. And where did that stem from? It stemmed from slavery. Let me tell you why. In slavery, the mom was out in the field from 6 to God knows when, and the oldest child had to stay home and watch the kids. Once we got out of slavery, she's going to the white woman house, breastfeeding her baby and taking care of her baby when her oldest one is taking care of her. Or your youngest baby want to get breastfed, but you done gave your breast milk to someone else. And that trickles down. You know what that's called? Generational trauma. Do you know when your grandmother was pregnant with your mother was pregnant with you? And that continues. But we see 3 generations. So you're bearing the trauma of your grandfather, your father, and yourself. You're bearing the trauma of your grandmother, your mother, and yourself. Whatever grandma didn't clear, mama cleared. And whatever mama didn't clear, you cleared. Some of us are lucky that each generation did their part. Some of us got to do it all. You're healing yourself for grandma, mom, and you. And the ones that's coming after you. Like, yo. Anyways, so my trauma book is going to say there's so many. I listed as many as I could, but I know there's more. Getting food stamps is trauma. Living in a poor neighborhood is trauma. Having your parents divorced is trauma. Seeing abuse is trauma. Moving to a new country is trauma. Every fucking thing is trauma, and that's what my book is going to show. I didn't want it to be just a trauma book, so it's going to be a 2-in-1. And one side is going to talk about trauma, on the other side is going to talk about healing modalities. Because to just bring up trauma for people is going to do them more harm. I want them to know that, yes, this trauma did happen. Yes, let's journal about it. But these are some healing modalities that can work. Okay, there's 2 sides to everything. Don't just tell me a problem. What is a solution to the same problem that you're bringing up? That's how I like to think about it, but that's just me. Let me move on. Understand the vibration energy of your thoughts and emotions. Explore practices like yoga and Tai Chi that focus on movement and energy flow. I used to think going to the gym, oh, let's run, do marathon, No. Yoga is important because it uses the least amount of energy with the most effect on your body. Stretching is so important. We don't realize it now, but by the time you get 80, you're going to be so thankful that you're flexible and nimble. The reason they be breaking their hip, baby, that hip is stiff. And instead of turning and being flexible, you broke it. So we need to focus on that more. There's so many different types of yoga, y'all. And Tai Chi is different movements that are sending energy flow to different meridians in your body. The Chinese know a lot about that, and we got to tap in. It's so sad. I was looking at a documentary. They were killing people in China, Korea, wherever, that were a part of the Tai Chi faith, or they will put them in jail. And when you're in jail, you become an organ donor, and it was killing them people for their organs. So you know that this is a good practice. And instead of them people being able to freely experience their faith, you imprison them and sell their organs. It's so messed up, y'all. If you can handle it, go research that. But that was a lot. That was a lot to swallow. So if you talk to anybody in America right now and they need organs, they'll always say, oh, we can go to China and get cheap organs. I wonder the fuck why. I just told you, like, humans, they can be good, but there's such a dark part. Like, you can literally sleep at night because you didn't do your body right. And now you need somebody else's body part. And because it costs too much to wait in a line over here, you don't care how that other person got it. You just finna go over there and get it for cheap. That's somebody's child, somebody grandchild, somebody mom, somebody auntie, somebody cousin. And because they took good care of their body and practice a faith that's outside of the norm, they were jailed and became an instant organ donor. And sometimes they leave them people alive so that they can sell all the body parts. It's just like this place. Sometimes I'm like, I know this is hell. This is like hell. Because I don't think this stuff could happen in the presence of God. Like, it's just so much wickedness. Like, there's no fucking way. So anywho, let me go on to the next part. So some affirmations for the principal vibration would be, I am in tune with the universal vibration. My energy is aligned with the rhythm of life, and I move with purpose. I am in tune with the universal vibration. My energy is aligned with the rhythm of life, and I move with purpose. I'm in tune with the universal vibrations. My energy is aligned with the rhythm of life, and I move with purpose. A lot of us are not moving in purpose. I saw another TikTok the other day. It said, if you are angry to go to work, you're not in your purpose. Because when somebody said, oh, I want to go see a house, I'm like, okay, these are the houses that we can go look at. Let's go look. I'm excited. I love it. I love what I do. And all my other careers did not feel like that. Like, I would love getting that fucking check. But I was not in my purpose. And when I listen to a lot of billionaire podcasts, they've made the money. They have the mansions. They have the jets. They have the houses all over the world. They have the vacation homes. They have all the girls, all the men, all the kids they want. But purpose is zero. So they switch all of that and then shave off their hair or go to a monk monastery, you know, sit down with God and like, oh, my purpose. It's not money, y'all. I'm glad I got that. Money is great. Money will give you so many opportunities in life that the average person doesn't have. But I don't think you can stand in front of God and say, I made $1 billion. And he like, yeah, whoop-de-whoop, come on in. Well, what the fuck did you do with your life? What was your purpose? I put a purpose in you. Did you find out what your purpose was, or did you get distracted by money? Then a person can say, God, I did not make a lot of money. I probably got $2 to my name when I died. But this is what I did with my purpose. This is the people that I help. Yes, my child, come in. Like, one of my favorite verses is, why gain the whole world and lose your soul? Like, don't forget, this is a soul journey. It's not an income journey. Money is great, but it's not an income journey. It's a soul journey. Did you learn about your soul? Did you help other people with their soul? So don't get caught up, my loves. Don't get caught up. So make sure you move with purpose. Okay, so number four, the principle of polarity. Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. This principle underscores the existence of opposites and the necessity for balance. So that's, I haven't grasped this yet, because if there's good, that means there has to be evil. And I'm like, but does it have to really be evil? Like, do we really have to go to war? Do they really have to be bombing in Palestine? Do we really need the sex trade? Do we really need Epstein Islands? Like, my mind hasn't understood that part yet. But I do know when really, really bad things happen, it births something in the person that survives, and they touch so many people. Tyler Perry was homeless. Because of that low, he was able to go so much higher. And he's able to employ so many people and make all these movies that, if you really pay attention, there's good lessons in those movies. And it's just touching so many people. But had not he been homeless, would he have had the desire? Let's say he was like a manager at some company and went up. Would he have ever circled back around to start with the plays, or to start the company, or to have a studio? And like, it would have took him a whole nother path. So I don't know what happens to the people that go. But for the people that stay and that survive, they just tap into their calling like so much more. Like, a lot of the sex traffic victims, like, they start nonprofits and they start speaking out and they help rescue people. Like, that's great. Would that have been their mission if that had not happened to them, if they had not been a victim? I don't know. Myself, if I had successfully had my babies, would I want to circle back around and start a fertility page, write fertility books? I don't think I would. That wouldn't be my concern. That wouldn't be my journey. I wouldn't know that pain. I wouldn't know that sorrow. I wouldn't be able to put that love in those books, that experience. So I get it a little bit. But dang, that is a hard principle to swallow. Like, opposites will always exist. Like, yin and yang. Like, if you're your worst self, your positive self is waiting for you to tag in. If you're your best self, your worst self is like waiting to tag in. And maybe I'm a Libra. I battle my worst self all the time. Like, shall we get on? Like, no, nigga, sit down. No, we're not going to do that. like if jail wasn't even a factor, I don't even know who I would be. Because if you do me wrong, done. Go meet God. Like, so serious. So, I don't know. Like, instead of them saying opposites, maybe it should say, maybe I should understand it as you are. You are the evil you see just as well as you are the good you see. It all points back to you. So, the other day, what book I just listed? I just finished... I just finished Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life by Bob Proctor. And one of the things he was saying is when someone does something evil to you, pray for them. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I want to put my prayers on something else. But he was like, the same energy that you put out is what's going to come back. So you're only hurting yourself. So I was just saying, like, it was so hard to do, but I was like, okay. I face racism a lot, and I haven't experienced that just in my adulthood, which is such a shocker. Like, I made it all the way as a youth without experiencing racism, and now that I'm old, I'm bumping into older racist people, and it's not the young, it's the old, and I'm like, wow, this is not a good feeling. And I could only imagine what my grandma went through, what my parents went through. Like, wow. As if I said, okay, God, send me back as black. I didn't even ask for this. It just is what it is. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pray for racist people. If they have so much hatred in them, God send them love. God send them care. God send them healing. Send them whatever they need, because obviously they're missing it. How could you give something that you yourself don't even have? And I was just praying for people that want to go to war. And I was just like, okay, let me send out all this good energy, all this good love. And I kid you not, because I'm on this good wave, what happens? I'm taking a picture of a house and a car full of white people roll by. What are you taking pictures for? Oh my God. I had already messaged the lady of the house that I was taking pictures for. Because when you're trying to get a loan or refinance your house, they're going to take a picture of your house. See what kind of what it looked like, what kind of work they need to do. So we just take 6 pictures. Front, left, right. Left road, right road. That's it. And we drive off. Quick $20. So much faster than Uber. Right? I don't have to explain anything to neighbors or nobody. The owner knows what the fuck I'm doing. And she said, thank you, Jamisha. Have a great day. End of story. They don't roll by. I can see the hate in their eye. Big old fat white lady, her husband, and somebody in the back. And I'm like, I already talked to the owner. They know what I'm doing. I'm not taking pictures of everybody else's home. The fuck? And so I messaged the homeowners association because I don't want to end up on the news one day because somebody felt threatened because I was taking a fucking picture and hurt me. So my mom, she was like, get a vest or whatever. That way they'll know that you kind of like doing something. You know what I mean? But this is where my problem is. If somebody comes and they climb up the pole, we don't say, let me see your business card. What are you doing? You know, if somebody come and they supposed to be doing cable or whatever, we don't say, oh my God, what are you doing? If somebody come and they're doing pest control in somebody's yard, we don't say, let me see your car. What are you doing? We leave them the fuck alone. So why am I getting harassed? Like, I don't understand. Like, what? Anywho. So I just thought it was weird that the moment I send out that prayer, as I'm listening to Bob Proctor audio while I'm riding around doing my pictures, that was the damn test. Like, when you're doing good and you're trying to vibe high, something is going to always come to try to take you low. And I did go low. I felt my vibration go low because I was full of so much joy and happiness and it just dropped. Like, what the fuck? And so that entity won. It's like, I try to look at it like if you were a spirit, you wouldn't eat food, right? You would eat energy. So if you're a good spirit, you stay around good people, good vibes, and that's how you get fueled, just your energy. But if you're a bad spirit, you need bad energy. You need people to do bad things to feed you because that's your energy. So I don't want evil things feeding off of me. because I'm being low vibrational. So I always tell my siblings, like, even with this podcast, like, vibe high. And it's hard sometimes. It's so fucking hard. But I have to remind myself and you, like, try to vibe high, because they've done studies to show, like, if you're sad or angry, you're most likely to get in an accident when you're driving. And when you're happy and upbeat, you're most likely to win the lottery. So there's more to this energy thing than they want to really say. And I just want us to tap in a lot more than what we are. But yeah. Okay, so let me go to the next one. Embrace and learn from both positive and negative experiences. And that is a true, like, no matter what happens to me, I learn. And because I'm a student and I love to learn, I'm going to get a wave ring, because I finally learned to let things come that come and let things go that go. Like, I won't exert any energy on either side. If it's coming to me, great. If it's leaving, great. What did I learn? Journal, keep it moving. Like, I have no possession over anything. God gives me everything, and everything can be taken away. So if I try to anchor on things, that's when I get disappointed. That's when I get upset. That's when I get depressed. Because you're anchoring on things that probably weren't yours to be forever. Like, some things are for a season or for a reason or whatever. And so if I lose that anchor and just learn to lay back and float, like I can float in the water and just float. Float with the waves, float with the still water, just float. And I'm not anchored on anything, I'm fine. And so that was the biggest lesson that I feel like I passed that final lesson this year. Like, I just accept, like, it's okay. Learn from both positive and negative, and don't hang on to things. Like, I don't know, if you thought you were supposed to do this and you didn't do that, God wanted you to go a whole nother way. Instead of being thankful for going the other way, you're going to be sad about the other way, and that wasn't even the way you were supposed to go. So if you just leave yourself in a position of acceptance, of openness, you know, you'll appreciate each way you go, and you can focus on the lessons instead of being sad unnecessarily. What did they do to my car? I got to take my car back to these people. Seek balance in all areas of your lives and avoid extremes, which is, oh my God, that's the hardest thing for me. Like, I'm always extremely happy, extremely sad. It's like, girl, learn the balance. It's always extreme for me. Practice empathy and understanding in the face of opposing viewpoints. And I think I get people having their different point of views, and I don't try to persuade them because I know they're not going to persuade me. I think my hardest thing is I understand. Like, if you think of a Rubik's Cube and all those little squares, by the way, shout out to my nephew, because he is such a boy genius. He had showed a video of that, and I'm like, oh, he just pulled it out of the package and it's done. No, honey, that thing was mixed up when he came to my mom's house, and he put it back together. I said, oh my God, CJ, you are so smart. I just want you to know, people cannot do this, and you are so smart. You are so brilliant. And I think we should just recognize that. Like, each kid is different. One kid can draw. One kid may can sing. One kid may can dance. One kid may be a brainiac. School is not, it's not for everybody. It's just something they have to do for society till they get 18, so you don't go to jail. So great, let them do that. We don't want mom and dad to go to jail. Let them learn the basic essentials, which aren't even the basic essentials, right? And let them really, and help them discover who they are, what their purpose is, and what they're supposed to be doing. Oh my God, we rob kids so much. We rob kids so much. So anyways, when I think of a Rubik's Cube, like, when I'm looking at, let's say, first 48, I'm like, okay, this person is missing. Okay, the mom is feeling that way. Okay, the dad is feeling that way. The sister is feeling that way. The cousin's feeling that way. The missing person. Oh, the person probably did that to them because, like, my mind already, and all those different roles. That's why when somebody died, I'm like, okay, what happened? Because it's like, not that it's okay, but I might understand why the fuck he snapped or why the fuck she snapped. I don't know, like, I like a Rubik's Cube. Every little square, that's like a thought. That's like a point of view. That's like a perspective. And I get that. And I think I do that automatically, and the world doesn't. So when I talk to people, I don't want them to, like, agree with me, like, yes, you're right. I just want them to understand. Like, can you understand this point of view? Because I already understand yours. So can you understand mine? It's just a mutual understanding. Like, you do not have to agree with me. That's fine. I'm still going to feel the fucking way I feel. And you are going to feel the way you feel. I'm just very strong-willed. But what did you learn? We both should walk away learning something. You should have learned what I said. And I should understand a little bit more what you said. Like, that's the goal, right? I mean, so frustrated. Like, oh my God. I'm starting to not care anymore. That's going to be a bad place to be in. So understanding opposing viewpoints. So I think I get others. I think I just want them to get mine. And I know they don't. Like, so with all these conspiracy theories, you don't understand why I wouldn't want to be vaccinated. I didn't tell you not to be, but do you understand my point of view? That's all I'd be looking for. So let me see. Anyways, so polarity. So here's the affirmation. I embrace the dualities of life in challenges and in joys. I find balance and I learn valuable lessons. That's really what life is. If I just really break it down and say, what the fuck did I learn today? That's really all it is. What did you learn? What all happened? Review your day. What did you learn? If it should happen again, what can you do differently for a different result? If it happened perfectly, what did you do so that if it do happen again, you could get that same positive result? That's really life. Mixed with all this other shit. Okay, so let me go back. The principle of rhythm. We're on number 5, y'all. Be mindful. Oh, wait. I gotta go back up. The principle of rhythm. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. It discusses the nature of life and the importance. It discusses the nature of life and the importance of understanding and harmonizing with these rhythms. The rhythm of life, y'all. So be mindful of the natural rhythms and cycles in your life. I remember Sharita saying that, like, write down the cycles of your life. So if we look at Earth, because as above, so below, right? And we got to take all the principles because all of them are applied to us, not just one. So if Earth spins so many days and it's at whatever speed, we are not a planet per se, but we're doing something for so many days at whatever speed. And if we just knew the calculated equation for our life, like an orange seed, we know the orange seed so much so that what climate it needs, what soil it needs, the nutrients in the soil, at how many days it's going to start to do what, all the way down to when the fruit going to grow. What does that look like for you as a human? So we know, you know, 0 to 18, we kind of got, okay, the baby does this, toddler, da da da. We kind of got school. We kind of got, you know, what the body does because the body grows. But what about our gift? At this age, they should be doing this with their gift. At this age, they should be doing this with their gift and that, at their gift and that. Ain't that what Jesus did? He was in the tower with the wise man learning. He up here turning water into wine and healing. Like, that was a whole, like, planetary cycle for a human. So what does ours look like? I bet somebody know. I think we need to know, though. So adapt and flow with the changes that occur. Adapt and flow with the changes that occur. And recognize that challenges are temporary and so are successes. So I used to think, like, woe is me. But no, it's not a woe is me. And nothing ever can happen without there being a reason. So if you just step back and understand what was the reason, you could appreciate it more. So because my tire went flat, I learned how to change a tire. I know what companies have the best price for a tire. I know, you know, what kind of spare I need. So when things happen, you just learn. Because my battery went dead, I know how to jumpstart a battery. I know where to get a battery from. I know how much a battery is going to cost. I know when the next time I need to replace it. It was just, it wasn't to hurt you. It wasn't to kill you. You learned. There was a lesson there. You can teach somebody else. Okay, you need to change your tire. Your tire getting a little flat. You might want to take care of that one. Why? Because you've had some experience with that. So much so that you can look back and teach somebody else. Again, school and life, school and life. That's all this is. Life, the school of life. Recognize that challenges are temporary and so are successes. So again, if you just hold on to I'm the number one singer in the world, and the moment your records don't sell no more, you're all depressed and you want to kill yourself. That's not what it's about. You're not supposed to hang on to nothing. You did what you were supposed to do in your season. The tree doesn't bloom all the time. It goes through spring, winter, summer, and fall. Why do you think you're not going to? And that's another thing. If nature has a spring, winter, summer, and fall, so do you. What does your spring look like? What does your winter look like? What does your summer look like? What does your fall look like? For women, most time, their spring is, you know, having churn and stuff. You know, things are growing. Just like what? Nature. But you have other aspects of your life. You're not going to always be bearing children. One day your children are going to leave home. It's going to be an empty nest. Now what are you doing? What does that look like for you? There's going to be a season of growth. You're going to be growing, growing new ideas, XYZ. What does that look like for you? So, I don't know. I just think, We look at things externally, but we forget that's external. That's internal, too. That's why I love being esoteric. That's why I love all my cards. Like, you could pick up a deck of tarot cards and it's plants, and the plants are teaching you something. If you get a rose, that means you are beautiful. Start doing your makeup. Take yourself out on self-date. Whatever that person decides to put on that damn card, it's a message. You can put your own message on that card, but the point is, it could be a deck of rabbits. It could be a deck of animals. It could be a deck of planets. It could be a deck of God. The point is, it's messages. It's saying that the world is telling you that this is the sun and this is what the sun do. But let's apply that sun to your life. This is what this sun means right now in your life. That's why I love esoteric, because it helps you to understand a tree isn't just a tree. That tree can mean something for me in my life too. Like, one of my books is going to be called Roses and Thorn. When my mom started her garden and I saw it go from chaos to beauty, that's how my mind felt, from chaos to beauty. And I relate that to a garden. If you don't tend to your mind, it's going to be weeded. It's going to be a mess. But if you tend to it, it's going to be a beautiful garden with butterflies and birds. And those are beautiful thoughts and beautiful energies and beautiful spirits coming to visit you. I cannot wait to drop these fucking books. But instead of just looking at it with my eyes like, oh, that's a beautiful garden, that garden was teaching me about myself. You know what I'm saying? That was just so beautiful. But I didn't learn that in church, y'all. It's on the spiritual side, on the esoteric side, I started to learn that. So, yeah, challenges are temporary and so are successes. Just don't anchor on anything, because it can change and you need to be okay with whatever that change is going to be. Like, a lot of people are married, and I've had someone really, really close to me pass away. And when I tell you, oh, out of everything in life, death, that's the one. That's the test that can take you out. Because it's just like nothing, like gone. Like, the moment they put the casket in the ground, it's like, what? Like, forever, ever? But people that are married, it's like, I've already experienced. I feel like I went through a lot of things young. I went through love. I went through separation. I went through death. Like, all at such a young age, which makes sense because my rising is Scorpio. I just wish somebody would have sat me down a long time ago and said, baby, you have a Scorpio rising. You're going to see a lot of things alive and die. Like, the same things that are brought to you that are alive are going to die. And, oh my fucking God, that's crazy. But that's just something that I chose to learn in this lifetime with the Scorpio rising. But a lot of people that are married, one day you're going to roll over and your spouse is not going to be there. All your daily rituals, all your family traditions, they're going to change. And if you're so anchored on that, what the fuck are you going to do when that changes? will you even be able to live or survive? Or are you so connected, intertwined, you're not going to be able to do it? Because instead of your kids losing one parent, they can lose two if you lose your mind. They would have lost one physically and then you mentally. Which, are you any good at that point? So I think we get so attached to things. Like you're a VP at that job. You dedicated so many years to that job. When a lot of men retire, they don't know what to do. You so used to serving someone else and doing, da 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 da. You really missed a lot of things with your family and stuff. And now that you have that time, you don't know what to do. It's just like we anchor onto these things so much so we don't know what to do when they're gone. And that can be anything. Like my journey is being told you're pregnant and then I'm sorry that you lost the baby. Like in one day. Congratulations and I'm sorry. What the fuck? After emergency surgery, I'm sorry. Like that does a lot to you and you just see life differently and you don't, because those things are so serious, like a lot of petty stuff. I don't even have this one girl. She's so funny. She's a Christian girl. She'd be like, I don't have the capacity. I needed to hear that because I didn't know what to say, but that is what it, I have so much energy for the day. And to exert the energy on that, I don't have it. Sorry. It is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be because I don't have the energy for that. No way. No fucking way. Like recently, I'm a realtor, so I show empty houses and you never know who you're going to meet. And this is a crazy world that we live in. We know about the Epstein Islands. We know about human trafficking. We know about organ harvesting and all this shit. So someone had called me and they were like, what kind of panties do you have on? And I was just like, what? I've never got a call like that. And I just hung up. I didn't think nothing of it. Then I get like 10 messages back to back to back to back to back with screenshots of pictures and just disgusting things. And I'm like, what the? Right before my open house. And I call the police. I make a report. The police come. And then a realtor friend of mine, she was like, oh, somebody did me the same way. And that made me feel a little bit better. Like I wasn't just singled out. But apparently somebody decided to call both of us. And it was just the weirdest, oddest thing. But it was so traumatizing. Not because of that. Like that can happen. But because of previous things that have happened to me. It was just such a trigger. Like, oh my God. And my dad was so concerned. My mom was so concerned. My siblings were so concerned. I haven't even told my two best friends yet. Because they're going to like fucking flip out. But I was telling the police, like, okay, if y'all ever get a call from me and there's a fucking dead body, I just want you to know that I reported this case and I used to do open houses and showings and stuff a little bit more free-spirited. Now, if it's going to be me or you, it's going to be fucking you. And the police was like, I understand. You got to do what you got to do for your life. I was like, okay. And so, yeah, like, it's a crazy war. I don't know. I just felt like, I just appreciate the concern that my dad had. I appreciate the concern that my mom had and my siblings. Like, we was ready to go to war. Everybody was like, who, what, when, where, how, when, where we dumping the body? And that's what I need on my team. I don't need nobody without that energy at all. Because I will be times five that for everybody else. So, if you can take that situation lightly, you are definitely not for me. I don't know. It just different situations will really show or expose things that you just wouldn't know. And so I'm at least happy for that. Let's see. So yeah, I felt a way about the situation, but I just said, okay, what did I learn here? Okay. And if anything comes, so if you come to me with something small and it's not to that, like I'm worried about stalkers and serious stuff in life. And if it's not that height of a serious level to me, I don't have you have the energy for it. Like, no, I need to save my energy for the big stuff. Okay. I don't have to, like the Christian girl say, I don't have the capacity. Nope. It just is what it is. I don't have a fight for that. I'm saving my fight for something. You know, life or death. And that to me is not a life or death situation. Let me see. find balance. I flow with natural rhythms of life. Oh, let me make sure I'm on the right one. Yeah, be mindful of the rhythms. Okay. I flow with the natural rhythms of life. In every ebb and flow, I find beauty and opportunities for growth. I flow with the natural rhythms of life. In every ebb and flow, I find beauty and opportunities of growth. I really do feel like Earth is not just a planet of plants. I think we all are plants. I think we're human plants. I think there's sea animal plants. I think all animals are plants. Like, we all are in a garden, which means we all are growing and we all are being nurtured by God. And we all have trials and tribulations. Like, if a storm comes, do we shelter the fucking trees? No, they have to brace that shit. Some branches might fall, some trees might fall, some might live to see another day. It's the same thing with us. So tornadoes can happen in your life. Literally, a real tornado, and y'all got to get in the bathroom and cover up in the tub. Or like a mental or spiritual tornado can come. And so, is that not the same thing? So yeah, it's just interesting to look at life that way. I just feel like we're all in God's garden growing. Let me see what next one on. Cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. This principle emphasizes that nothing happens by chance. Every event has a cause. And this brought me so much peace. Before I do anything, there's choices laid out before me. And every choice has like a consequence or, you know, a path that I'm going to take or a road. And it's already determined. I just got to decide and kind of go through it and learn. So if I don't get the job, okay, that's taking me down another path. If I do get the job, that's taking me down another path. If I don't get the client, that's taking me down another path. If I do get the client, that's taking me down another path. At the end of the day, I'm still on a path. So worry not, my love. You know what I mean? Like, worry not. And when it says nothing happens by chance, I think there's like a bigger reason. Like, if you didn't end up here, like, let's think of 9/11. Some people didn't go to work that day. One person spilled coffee on their shirt and they had to go back home and change. Another person missed the train. Another person did that. Another person's kid was sick. Just so many people said that they didn't go to work for whatever reason. They didn't know the reason, but the reason was they wasn't supposed to die that day. You see how fucking big that is? So whatever little thing in your life didn't happen is because of a bigger reason. It's a bigger reason. So yeah, I don't think it's really a roll of a dice. Everything is calculated. We might not know the calculation, but it is a calculation. So principles of cause and effect. Take responsibility for your actions and their consequences, because they do have consequences. Everything you say or do will have a consequence, and you got to be okay with that. And when you're okay with your choices and the consequences, it's such a beautiful life. Like, you don't really worry. You're not really fearful. It kind of is what it is, because it was what it was and it's going to be what it's going to be. Like, you're at peace. Peace is a beautiful thing. I know that I will never lose something that's supposed to be mine, ever. So that's not even a concern of mine. The fact that I lost it means it wasn't mine. And the same thing what I tell my people, we're looking for houses. Sometimes they don't get approved for the house. And I just tell them, you know, don't worry. That house belongs to someone else. Someone else has been praying just like you. And their prayer got answered by getting the house. And your prayer is going to be answered by getting your house. It's just not this house. So let's keep looking, because your house is out there. So I be ministering to my clients. I be ministering to myself, y'all. Like, that opportunity wasn't for you. That was for somebody else. But your opportunity is coming. Keep doing what you're doing. And you're going to meet your opportunity head on. Sometimes too, with this thing called life, I don't think you get what you want until you're where you're supposed to be. So if I want a Jaguar per se, do I have Jaguar money? Right now, no. So why would God give me a car with a $500 oil change and I can't even keep up with that? Or a car payment that I can't keep up with, like, or a house note that I can't keep up with. Like, some of these places, they ask you for like 3 times the rent, and a lot of my clients, they're doing it with a partner. I can't imagine one person trying to do that. Three times what, sir? We still got car note. We still got insurance. We still got groceries. God forbid there's daycare, things like that. Like, what do you mean? One time the income, because my two other times income is being spent somewhere else. Like, why are you even calculating? Why are you calculating someone making three times the income when they have other expenses? Even if they do have three times the income, those other expenses are accounted for. There's $0 left in the bank at the end of the day. Like, what? Like, the math is not mapping for me, y'all. So I hope I can make a change in society. Like, I know I will. Not hope. I know I will. God is ordering my steps. I'm meeting the right people. I'm getting in the places that I need to be in. And I'm meeting the people that I need to meet. And change is coming. And I am so excited. I'm so honored to be the face of the change. I'm so excited to bear the burden of the change and the ridicule and whatever trials and tribulations are going to come with it. But I feel the spirit of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, like all my ancestors, Angela Davis, like we here. We here. We are with you. We are rooting for you. Like, we're going to hit this monster head on. And so I'm just honored to be like, okay, like I know the road I'm on. I know the path that I'm supposed to be on. And hey, baby Jay, I know that God is only going to allow people on my path that are going to help with my missions, that aren't going to distract me. So if you're on the mission with me, great. We are teammates. If not, God is already telling me, like, you're not my teammate. So let's see. Take responsibility for your actions and their consequences. Consider the potential outcomes before making the decisions. That's a good one. My dad will always say, count the cost before you, you know, make a decision. Count the cost. Like, what is this going to cost you? My mom, my grandma always says, my mom is a Psalms 31 woman. She counts the cost of her field as she makes the meal for her family and stuff like that. Like, you always have to, like, prepare. So what is the outcome of that decision? Are you okay? Will you be okay with that before you even do it? Learn from mistakes and use them as opportunities to grow. Is it just me, or are these same lessons repeating themselves within different principles? It's like, whoa, learn from your mistakes and use them as opportunities to grow. I sometimes think of that in different ways. Like, when you date different people, you learn different things. You know what to do the next time, what not to do. So sometimes in the dating world, we're just helping ourselves be better for someone else. Maybe not each other, maybe someone else. I know I learned a lot from everyone in my past, and I thank them for it. Maybe not when we were going through it, but looking back, I can say, like, thank you. I learned this from you, and I learned this from you, and I learned this from you, and I learned this from you, da, 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 da. Like, thank you. I would not have learned that on my own. Like, I needed you to learn that. Regardless of the emotion, regardless of the outcome, regardless of how it made me feel, thank you. And it's just teaching me more about myself. Like, I don't want someone that makes me feel like that. I don't want someone that does da 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 da. I don't want someone that does that, that does that. Like, thank you. You're just helping me stamp what I don't want, because knowing what you don't want is just helping you see that list of what you do want. Both of my parents grew up in situations that they just did the opposite of what they saw and built a beautiful marriage on it. Not because of good example, but because of bad. So I'm the generation that I saw a wonderful example, and I want to mimic that times 2, 3, 4, 5. And so I'm thankful that they were put in a position to see the opposite and do the opposite to do good, so that I wouldn't have to go through that. So they broke some generational curses for me. And I want to do the same. There's no way my grandmother raised 6 kids by herself and I want to go out here and get a baby daddy. That makes no sense to me. No shade to anybody. And I love, love kids. But when you tie that into the fact that I was raised with my father and my mother, okay, there's something about going to sleep at night and there's a man there that's going to protect everybody in that house. You sleep so peaceful. I don't know how it would feel going to sleep with little kids under me, and if something happened, I got to protect them. That's not my role. I'm not the protector. He is. So having to wear both of those hats, I don't even know nothing about that life. I got my daddy. I got my brother. We know about men. I grew up in church, godly men, men that are leaders, pastors of whole congregations. They listen to God. my brother's a godly man. My dad is a godly man. And when I look at them compared to a lot of men in the world, that's what's missing. Because I think they're the same. A man is going to be a man. But if a man is following God, God is going to help him be a better man. That is the difference between the men. Some men are following a higher calling that are forcing them to be better. I can even go do what I want to do too. But I have principles. I have God. I have leadership. I have an impact that I want to leave. I'm not just going to go out here doing whatever, leaving a bad example. But a lot of people don't live like that. They don't care. They're not looking at it from that point of view. I have nieces and nephews looking up to me. I don't want them to see their auntie, a baby mama, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dads. What example is that leading? Like, no. Auntie's going to get married. Auntie's going to have a whole family and start a family. This is the example I'm leaving. This is what you do. If you can. Some women are raped. I completely understand it. And they chose to have their kid, or they're single and they choose to adopt. And that's going to be a single household family. But to deliberately wake up one day and say, I want a child, regardless of this man's going to be here, let me do that. That's so dysfunctional. And then as the auntie, I get to watch the kids. I get to hear them complain. I get to hear them say, mom is not a good mom. She should not have been a mom. You will make a great mom. I get to hear the mom say, you should have been her mom. You're such a great auntie. I get to hear both sides of that conversation. It's crazy, y'all. Like, my mom is not a good mom. Wow. Kids hurt too. Like, I come to support you, but you looking around for your dad and your dad not here. Ouch. Do we think about that too? Like, do I want to put my child in that situation? So their dad is not showing up to things and I'm crying at night, they're crying at night. That is, I don't want to leave trauma like that on kids. Like, my mom grew up without her dad, and at 56, she still has emotions from that. Just because you grow, those parts of you grow too. So you were a little child. That little child is still in you no matter how old you are. You were a teenager. That teenager is still in you no matter how old you are. There's your young adult, there's your adult, and then you're older. They all live with you no matter how old you get. And so you'll hear a lot of people say, I'm looking at cartoons, because the little kid in you wants to look at cartoons. Or I'm playing tag with the kids, because the teenager in you is playing tag with kids. You know what I mean? There's different aspects of you that still live. Your mind just grew, but it didn't get rid of the older versions of you. So I just think that's, I don't know. I don't want to. So my mom, the little girl in her, still longs for, like, why wasn't my dad there? What was wrong with me? Even though she successfully has a husband and successfully provided a father for her kids, and now they're grandparents and great-grands. Oh, not great yet, but grandparents. That's still something, even when she looks at us, that's something she doesn't know how it feels to say, hey, dad. She has no idea. So although she broke the curse for us, she still longs for that. And that is so sad, because my grandfather is not here. And I just don't even know, like, how men can even, like, go to sleep. Like, you literally go to sleep every night and your kid is out there. You don't know if they're being molested, raped, sex trafficked, beat up, abused. Ain't no telling what man and woman got them around. Vice versa, what woman and the man got the kids around, because women do it too. But it's just like, yo, you sleep comfortable every night? I cannot imagine giving birth to something or forming a union with someone and birthing something together and not knowing what that seed is doing out there. When I park my car, I'm looking out the window. Is my car all right? This is my baby for right now. Is my car good? Oh, okay. You know what I mean? So if I could be concerned about my car, but you going to sleep not caring, not knowing shit, I don't know. I don't want no parts of that world. My grandmother, she showed us what it's like to raise 6 kids by yourself. My mother showed us what it's like to grow up without a dad. And there's no way in hell I'm going to deliberately do that. I'm not deliberately going to have a kid without a man not wanting to have a whole fucking family together and to be there and to have a whole wedding and a whole union. Like, that's what family is. if that's the case, you can just go have a random kid with somebody else, because we're not doing that over here. And I'm not raising these kids by myself, and I want them to wake up with their dad every day. I don't know what that is like. I don't know what it's like not to have a dad and not to have a mom. How am I going to have a whole family with that, and that's not what I know? So that's just my take on it. I don't know. That's just not the world I come from. Let me see. Take responsibility. Learn from mistakes and use them as an opportunity to grow. Yep. I am conscious of my actions and their impact. I sow seeds of positivity, knowing that they will yield a bountiful harvest. So no matter what happens, I just try to say, okay, what was the lesson here? It's just to move forward. Because another day above ground is just another opportunity to maybe get it right this time, or just to keep moving. Like, you can't dwell. Like, dwelling on the past is just like being stuck on repeat in the past. But we know that life is always in motion. It's always going forward. Why did you push pause? Like, continue to move forward. Like, don't dwell there. I think that's what my sister told me that when I was sad one day. She was like, depression is being stuck in the past, and anxiety is thinking about the future. So it's like, you have to be present, be in the now. And this is the last one, y'all. So the last one is the principle of gender. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. It highlights the presence of both masculine and feminine aspects in all things. I think that's the battle we're having right now, with them trying to say it, they, or whatever. Ew, my car is so dirty. I got to clean this. If nature has gender, and my mom has a garden, and there's girl plants and boy plants. I don't know if y'all knew this. I knew that they pollinated. But she had these sable palms, and the boys in the middle, you'll see a big stem. That's a boy. If it's a girl, you don't see it like that. So I'm like, oh my God, it's like almost like a penis. Like, there's boy and girl plants. So as humans, why don't we understand that? Like, now people are like, I wasn't born that way. Like, I don't care what your mind says, but this is the body that you're in. Now, whatever you decide to do with it from there, that's fine. But to try to, it's almost like me walking around saying I'm a peanut butter and jelly. I identify as a peanut butter and jelly. It's like, girl, okay, but don't try to like put that in the history books and make it so. That's just your mind, and that's your delusion. And if that's what you want, fine. But I think we're trying to teach it to the kids now. And I think that's where we cross the line. Like, these babies is going to be so confused. They're either going to be cutting off penises or making vaginas and be broke, or want to reverse it and can't. That's a broken soul. Like, you done cut off your penis, made it a vagina, and want your penis back. What you going to do? Now what you going to do? That is like going to be such a sad life. I don't know. I just hope they really think about this. If you have to be 18 to drink, I mean, if you have to be 18 to smoke and 21 to drink, they need to put an age on that too. Let these babies grow up, whatever body you have, unfortunately, grow up in that body and then figure it out later. Your mind isn't even developed till you're 25. What are we doing here? The human mind does not 100% develop until 25. So if you want to be honest, we shouldn't be signing shit until 25. That's the gag. But let me see. But this gender thing to me is going against God. Acknowledge and integrate both masculine and feminine qualities within yourself. Seek harmony and balance in relationships and personal development. Understand and appreciate the complementary access of gender energies. And I agree with that. Prince, I didn't think Prince was gay, but he dressed real nice. Like, he could dress to the nines, and he was manly. Like, that was like, to me, like the perfect being. When I look at Michael Jackson again, when I see real men dress up, they usually like the pimps with the big robe or the fur this, the fur that. And they really like dress. Outside of that, you got Prince and Michael Jackson. Normal men, they gonna have on what? A hoodie, some Jordans, whatever. But they don't really tap into like dress unless they have the balls of Prince and Michael Jackson. Guys are so scared of being called feminine, gay. Like, I don't know what it is. Your favorite genre could be romance, and you can't even tell nobody because you're a man. Like, come on. It's just so sad. And then women, you have to be masculine too. Like, you got to be able to protect yourself if something should happen. You know what I mean? You shouldn't just be a doe or a deer or a lamb just out to be slaughtered. So I think you should encompass both energies. And so that's why what I learned about other religions, it would be a man and a woman, and the woman will be the girl guy and the man will be the man guy, but they are one. And I'm like, oh. And when I go back in history, there were like hermaphrodites that have vaginas and penises, and then somehow we split ourselves. So to me, I think we're half beings. And although our body is 100% half, I think we can become whole again spiritually. I don't think you should go get a penis, go get a vagina, just make yourself whole. But spiritually, I think you could tap into those energies and just become a whole masculine and feminine being. Because from my studies, women had kids by themselves. Dr. Double Blair, I love Dr. Double Blair. He wrote a book called The Man, Woman, and Child and explained that the X chromosome is a whole chromosome and Y is a broken chromosome. And he said, it's supposed to be God, the woman, the man, and the child. And he also explained that women were the pharaohs. So women were ruling these countries, which if we think about nature, it's a queen what? Queen bee. You ain't never heard of no king bee, have you? She have all them damn babies, girl and boys, and they work for her. A whole platoon. Build a beehive and everything. At what? Her beck and her call. So if humans mimic nature, and when you look at the lion kingdom, it's one lion and all these damn women. And who hunt for the food? The woman. So it's like they need him to procreate, but they doing all the damn work. So it's just like, wow. When I look at nature, it's like they have chopped the woman down so much so. The only thing she's good for is having babies. When every family I know, the woman is really running the show. She's taking care of everybody. When they're sick, helping their mind, helping them reach their goals, helping with the household, fucking feeding them every damn day. I know the woman is exhausted, fucking exhausted, and she does not get enough praise. And I don't know, it's just like, wow, the woman. Even when I read up on the Black Panthers, it was the women. The men were a strong front, but it was the women running that thing. And even with presidents and stuff, it's the woman that's doing pillow talk and helping him decide and da-da-da-da-da. Like, all throughout the Bible, you can see it's the woman. Even so much so that one of the women danced before David and he said, you can have whatever you want. Over a damn dance. So, I think we both need each other, but if the woman really understood her energy, the world will be a different place. I think we're coming back into that though, so I'm excited. And the affirmation is, I honor and integrate both masculine and feminine aspects within me. In balance, I find strength, compassion, and wisdom. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful principle. Now remember, I did a podcast over 101 of these. I'm pretty sure there's a lot more. But instead of us focusing on what they want us to focus on, we need to dig more into spirit. And spirit has all the answers and resources we need in this thing called life. And it's really all that matters. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you have an amazing New Year's Eve. I hope you have an amazing new year for 2024. I hope all your hopes, dreams, and wishes come true. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Namaste, Lovaste, and always vibe high, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. I love you. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.